Rat Pack, where you at?
Look at the Thunderdome.
Yeah, yo, what's up? It's Friday, December 6th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. Let's preview week 14. Well, the remainder of week 14, because, of course, it got started last night with a bang, a barn burner of a game there between the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers. Before I get into that, let me just tell you, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'll tell you what I'm really loving right now at FTNFantasy.com is our optimizer. I used it last night for showdowns. And, you know, I play 20 lineups. I don't do 150 lineups very often. So I do 20 lineup max contests and put in for showdown last night and got about 2.5 times my investment on return. It was a really nice night. Loving the optimizer, especially with the simulations in there now. You can check it out. You can check it out, FTNFantasy.com. All right, last night's game. So 34-31. It was a 3.5 point spread, so that's what about what I expected here. On the Lions side, yes, you got, you know, your healthy dose of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, like we always do. You got Tim Patrick for 2 touchdowns, my guy Tim Patrick. I did have an anytime touchdown on him that I gave out on my radio show. But the key here, Laporta decent, Williams decent, Amon-Ra not. 5 for 43. He's in a little bit of a slump here. And this is the one disadvantage, you know, it was Laporta earlier in the season who wasn't necessarily producing. But when you have so many mouths to feed, like having Jameson Williams out there and him playing the way that he is, having Tim Patrick as a role player who's going to suck up a couple extra targets, it does put a little damper on things, but I'm not overly concerned about Amon-Ra. Now over to the other side. Josh Jacobs, another 3-touchdown game. I mean, he was a monster. Even though they held him in check from a yardage standpoint, he has been fantastic over the last 2 months. 18 for 66, but 3 touchdowns makes up the difference. He didn't even do anything as a pass catcher. But obviously the big story here, you had Watson go 4 for 114, which is such a Watson line. Kraft got in the end zone. Wicks was okay, but I don't think a lot of folks played him. But Jaden Reed had no catches, only 1 target. Now, the idea of Jaden Reed sucking, which I saw somebody in our Discord say, is so patently false. He didn't suck when he scored twice last week. He's a boomer bust player. And I will say this until I'm blue in the face. If you can't handle boomer bust players, just don't roster them. I'm not saying like, how dare you? I'm just saying don't roster him because he has an enormous ceiling, but he obviously also has a floor that is zero. We saw it. So first and foremost, if you can't handle these types of players, don't roster them. Know the player type and don't roster that player if you can't handle them. But beyond that, I mean, Jordan Love threw the ball 20 times. Jaden Reed ran 12 routes in this game. Like by comparison, you know, Tim Patrick ran 27 routes on the other side. You know, Jared Goff threw 41 times. So this was a game where the Packers didn't throw a lot. And of course, Jaden Reed isn't going to pop in games like that, most likely. So just, you know, be aware of that with him. Ceiling floor combination is very volatile with him, but the ceiling is enormous. Remember, if you have upside guys, there are also downside guys. We often forget about that, but there are two parts to the equation. You know, there's a heads and a tails for everything. All right, let's move into the game previews here. We're going to start with Tennessee and Jacksonville. Obviously, Jacksonville, a team in transition. No, they did not fire the head coach yet. I don't think that happens until the season's over, but no more Trevor Lawrence. He will be on injured reserve for the remainder of the season. So Mac Jones is the starter. He's on the fringe of Superflex, and that's with 6 teams on bye. He was okay last week, and honestly, I think he does enough for Brian Thomas. I think he does enough for Evan Ingram. He does enough for Parker Washington even potentially in this one, but Washington is dangerous to use as more than a desperation flex play. I'm staying away from the backfield if I can. You may not be able to, but if I can, I'm staying away from it. Over to the other side, it's a great matchup for Levis, but if you're trying to use him in one quarterback leagues, just think about how you're going to feel if you lose because of Will Levis. How are you going to feel over the next 9 months? I think he's more of a super flex option. I like the revenge game narrative for Ridley. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is seeing enough work to potentially be let's call him a back-end wide receiver 3. Pollard should bounce back here. Jets, Miami, I think Rodgers does enough to keep Davante Adams in wide receiver two territory, and honestly, Garrett Wilson as well. He didn't hit him on a bunch of throws last week, but at least he was making the throws. A younger Aaron Rodgers probably makes those throws, but still, he completes those throws, but still he was making them. So I think they're both wide receiver twos. We'll keep an eye on Breece Hall, but I don't want to jump to any conclusions until I get 3 days of practice reports. I can't tell you how often this happens. In fact, I'll bring it up with the last game of the week where people see DNPs and think it's the be all end all. And we really don't know anything until the third day. In fact, we'll talk about that with Tampa here because we already have it practice reports for the Tampa game. On the other side, you know, still obviously rolling with Tyreek regardless. Tua's been very good. He's a top 12 option this week. Loving Achan and even Jalen Waddle. He showed us just 2 weeks ago that the ceiling is still there. So he's a back end wide receiver three play. Atlanta, Minnesota, of course, you get the Kirk Cousins revenge game. He has been pretty rough the last 3 weeks. 4 interceptions last week. So how does he perform in this one? He's too risky to use in one quarterback leagues. But I think he does enough here for Drake London to be a wide receiver one, for Darnell Mooney to be an upside wide receiver three, boom or bust. Remember, if you can't handle that profile, right? Bijan is rolling. To the other side, I love Sam Darnold in this spot. I do think this is a bit of a shootout. Obviously beneficial for Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison is boom or bust as well. Be careful with TJ Hockenson. I only have him as a back end tight end one this week because Josh Oliver will be back. And they like Josh Oliver, so that could take a little bit of the work off of his plate. Aaron Jones, despite the fumbles last week, still an RB2. All right, New Orleans and the Giants. The New Orleans Saints have almost nobody. They have Kamara, and now with Taysom Hill on IR, I guess Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but he's only a flex. Like, yeah, he has 4 touchdowns over the last 4 games. Guess how many catches he has? 8. That's not enough, man. You can't score on half of your receptions. Like, it's just not sustainable. So be careful with him. Love Kamara, though, obviously. Over to the other side. So Malik Nabers was limited in practice yesterday. That's not a big deal. That's another example of people freaking out over something that isn't important. And I think it's still the commissioner platforms because I saw like a notification, Malik Nabers changed to questionable. No, he wasn't. He was limited in practice. The Giants have not released his status yet this week. That was your commissioner platform doing it. So stop letting them freak you out. He should be fine, but keep an eye on his practice report for today. Drew Lock should do enough to keep him in wide receiver one territory. And I do like Tyrone Tracy as an RB2. You know what's crazy? He's second among running backs in rushing yards, rookie running backs, that is, in rushing yards this season. Only Bucky Irving has more. It's wild. He's had a great year. Carolina and Philly. Okay, so you know who you're starting on the Philly side. The only player I should give you context for is Devontae Smith. So, yes, there's no Dallas Goedert almost certainly here. He hasn't been declared out as of this podcast, but I doubt he plays. Usually that would be good for Smith, but the Eagles are 13-point favorites, so I don't actually love this spot for Smith. I'm just using Hurts, Saquon, and A.J. Brown with confidence. On the other side, I like how Bryce Young has been playing, but I don't like this matchup. So really, I'm using Thielen and Leggett as flex options and Chuba as an RB2, and that's really it here. If Carolina can, you know, cover, at least, I think that's a victory for them. Obviously, if they won, that would shock the world, and it would be wild, and I'm a fan of chaos, but I don't think that happens. Either way, though, they're playing much better football right now. Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So this is the third time in NFL history where quarterbacks have faced each other coming off of 400-yard games, like both quarterbacks. That's only happened 3 times. So this is going to be a lot of fun. What do we get as the encore from Jameis Winston? Like Will Levis, in one quarterback leagues, I just would not be able to live with myself in the offseason if I went down getting cute with Jameis Winston. I can't use him there. In fact, I'd prefer Russell Wilson over him with the way that Russ has been playing. So we'll see what happens with Jameis, but I'm not over the moon about him here. I do like Jerry Jeudy as a wide receiver too. He has 614 receiving yards since week 8. That's really good right there. And also I don't expect Cedric Tillman because he went DNP in concussion protocol. That second practice of the week, obviously very, very important there. If I can get away with not using Chubb or Ford, I would like to. I realize that doesn't apply to everybody. You might have to use one of them. They're both flex plays, but I don't like them. Russell Wilson. So big game last week, most passing yards since Ben Roethlisberger in 2018 for the Steelers. But as a starter, 6 games, he's 271 yards per game, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's playing great football, and it has helped George Pickens out. Pickens moved from being like a boomer bust fringe wide receiver 2 to basically being a wide receiver 1. Like, I have him as a top 10 play this week with Russ under center. And then how about Najee Harris? So he is 1,000 scrimmage yards for the 4th consecutive season. He's the only player in Steelers history to do that in their first 4 seasons. He has, 176 more yards to go before 1,000 rushing yards on the season. If he does so, he will be the 14th player in NFL history with 1,000 rushing yards in each of their first 4 seasons. We haven't seen this done since Chris Johnson. 2011 was when he accomplished it, but 2008 to 2011. Harris is a rock solid RB2. All right, Vegas and Tampa. Honestly, Aiden O'Connell actually looked pretty good last week. And listen to this. So he's the first quarterback to throw for 300 plus yards, 2 plus passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions against the Chiefs since Josh Allen in 2022, week 6. That's pretty impressive. So, you know, it helps when you have Brock Bowers on the field, but I think O'Connell can be fine for Superflex this week. As far as the backfield is concerned, Alexander Mattison could play. He's been limited. I don't think Zamir White plays. So I think the question is, are we or aren't we going to see Sincere McCormick in a decent role? He is on the active roster now. They signed him to the active roster. He's not a practice squad guy anymore. But I don't know what happens with Mattison just yet. If no Mattison, then yes, Sincere McCormick would be a flex option. Interesting, sneaky, volatile, but yeah, a flex option. Don't worry too much about Jacoby Myers. So he had no practice designation on Wednesday. Then he went DNP on Thursday. That practice pattern can mean really one of two things. Either somehow between Wednesday and Thursday, he got hurt, which is hard to believe, or it was a planned load management day. I think that's the more likely, but we obviously have to see what his status is for today. If you see DNP, then yeah, he's on the wrong side of questionable. If you see limited, then yeah, he's going to play. And I think there's a good chance that he does play here based on the practice pattern. So keep an eye on that. By the way, like, Aiden O'Connell missed practice yesterday, but it was only an illness. All right, moving to the other side. So I do actually have Tampa practice reports for today. There was some concern about Mike Evans and Bucky Irving. There should not be any more concern about Mike Evans and Bucky Irving. Both of them practiced today. Evans is a wide receiver 1. Irving is a top 20 play. Now, Rashad White was going to be interesting. I think I can only really trust him as a flex option now that Irving looks like he's going to play. I'm using Baker as a top 10 option, and Cade Otton is also a top 10 option at their respective positions. Seattle, Arizona, Geno Smith, he has the 3rd most passing yards in the league, but he's only had 2 games with more than 1 passing touchdown. So he's like a boring super flex option. Can't use him in 1 quarterback leagues. Don't mind DK or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, how about this? Over his last 4 games, 27 catches, 110.3 receiving yards per game, 3 touchdowns. He's averaging 16.3 yards per catch. We're seeing a star being born here. He's awesome. He's so good. He's taken a huge step forward this season. Kenneth Walker, I know it's a little rough with him, but based on the volume, he is still an RB1, like a fringe RB1 option. I get a lot of questions about Kyler Murray. Why is he top 10? Well, you know, first, my main response to that is, if you don't agree with me, you're allowed to change my rankings. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to get upset. The rankings police aren't going to come knocking at your door. The rankings Gestapo and, you know, haul you off. No, it's not going to happen. You can change them if you don't agree with me. Why do I have him as top 12? Well, because his ceiling is enormous. On the season, he has 2 rushing touchdowns of 40 plus yards. The entire rest of the league in terms of quarterbacks has 1. Joe Burrow. That's it. His ceiling is enormous. His floor is low. He is boom or bust. Again, if you don't like that type of player, then definitely don't use Kyler Murray. Don't use Anthony Richardson. You know, those types of guys. But that's why he's a top 12. Any given week, he can go off. Trey McBride rolling back-to-back games with 12 receptions. Marvin Harrison Jr. is also boom or bust, but I do like the boom. I don't like the bust, but I do like the boom. As far as James Conner is concerned, I love the volume that he is going to see in this contest. And, you know, we're looking at back-end RB1 production out of him. Buffalo and the Rams, Josh Allen is Superman. I'm keeping a close eye on Amari Cooper. So Khalil Shakir is a wide receiver too, but I think Cooper is flex worthy, not super flex worthy, flex worthy. The role is slightly increasing week over week. So when do they finally take the training wheels off? We'll see. James Cook, I mean, it was like he was playing on a different surface than everybody else last week. That was awesome to see. Okay, so here's another question I get asked. Matthew Stafford, why are you not ranking him top 12, but you have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp so high? Well, because those guys, they've already shown this. Like, they can go out and have top 10 weeks and Matthew Stafford be like QB 13, 14, 15 because he doesn't run. Like, if Matthew Stafford throws for 225 and two, right? And let's say Nacua gets 100 and a score and Cooper Kupp gets like 80 and a score, which is very doable in that offense. Both of those guys are going to be, you know, top 10 guys very likely on the week based on their receptions, you know, how many receptions they have ideally. But Stafford won't be top 12, you know, so it's very viable. And especially because it's Buffalo, they are good against the pass. They're the third worst matchup out there for quarterbacks. Kyron Williams is still a fringe RB1. Chicago, San Francisco. So Thomas Brown's going to retain play calling duties. So that's good for Caleb Williams and company. 232 consecutive passes without an interception. I mean, he's been really great since Shane Waldron is out of the mix. Now, the injury report here. Keep an eye on today. DJ Moore, back-to-back DNP. Same with DeAndre Swift. Keenan Allen is practicing in full, so he's good after missing practice on Wednesday. Roshan Johnson is in concussion protocol and went DNP second practice of the week. He won't play. That's good for Swift as long as he plays. If he doesn't play, I'm not going Travis Homer. Not happening. As far as Moore is concerned, obviously if he doesn't play, then it helps Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, but we won't know until the Friday practice report is released. So just hope for the best, prepare for the worst. As far as the other side, I have Garendo at 16. I think that's fair right now. I'm viewing him as a top 20, but not a top 12. I think we're going to see a lot of passing out of Brock Purdy in this one. You know, he should be just fine. With Juwan Jennings is the slight preferred option over Debo, and obviously Kittle is still an elite fantasy tight end. The only game he didn't have a top 10 week was in the middle of a blizzard, so you got that. All right, Chargers, Kansas City. As of right now, Ladd McConkey, limited practice in back-to-back days, so in theory, he should play for this one or in this one, but we shall see. Keep an eye on his practice status on Friday. Herbert, it's a tough matchup. So really the only player that I want with much confidence here would be McConkey. I do think Will Disley bounces back after last week's goose egg. On the other side, you know, you're using Mahomes and Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver three. So the backfield's going to be interesting. I don't think they split the snaps exactly the way they did last week with Hunt having slightly more than Pacheco, but we can't just go all in on Pacheco yet. I just have him as a back-end RB2, and maybe if you're desperate, you could flex out Kareem Hunt. I don't love that, though. All right, finally, Cincinnati and Dallas. Oh, Cincinnati. What a tragic season for Joe Burrow. He's awesome. So is Jamar Chase. So is T. Higgins. So is Chase Brown, for that matter. Chase Brown has been excellent, man. So all of those guys are top 10 options at their respective positions. Yes, both wide receivers are top 10. Moving to the other side, I do think you can use Cooper Rush in Superflex given what he has done so far. And here's the example of people freaking out over a DNP to start the week. CeeDee Lamb. Okay, it was the first practice of the week. Doesn't mean he's not playing. Doesn't mean he's not playing. We got to see what Friday and Saturday say. If he goes limited today, then he's probably going to play. So we suited him up, and I love that Rico Dowdle, the training wheels are off. He is a borderline RB1 option this week. All right, ftnfantasy.com is the website, so make sure you go check that out. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You can follow along with me on X/Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Blue Sky at Jeff Ratcliffe. And don't forget that other pregame show, CBS Sports Network, 8 to noon Eastern on Sunday mornings. Watch me. I'm on a TV show. All right, I will catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.